So as we begin, I have bad news and good news for the online audience. The bad news is we ran out of Jesus wasn't talking to you copies yesterday. The good news is we found the new box this morning in our post office box. So the offer still stands for those who watch online. And if you send me an email at info@ohiogracebible.com with a physical mailing address, you will get a free copy. I had another one this week from so-and-so at yahoo.com. Please send me a free copy. And that was it. So I sent back an email. I'd be happy to if you just provide me with an address. That was 5 days ago. I haven't heard back. But we're now at lesson 17 in the Jesus Wasn't Talking to You series. And when I started this series and I had the thought in my head, I thought, oh, I'll probably do 5 or 8 lessons. And maybe if we're lucky, we can give away 50 books or so. So I ordered 50. And I had no idea I would be hearing from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people all around the world, and that people would... I'd be sending copies to every continent on the planet except Antarctica. Wow. None of the 5 atheist scientists on the continent of Antarctica have requested a copy yet. But, and then even now with the people requesting our gospel tracts, you know, we're sending tracts all around the world. So, I mean, it's extremely exciting. It's also very humbling and terrifying. You know, it's one thing when nobody's paying attention to you. You just go up and do your thing. But when you know people are paying attention, it's like, what do we do now? Well, we do the same thing we've always done. We try to stay right in the middle of the road doctrinally, teach the main things and the big things, stay true to God's word, yes. And it's always about our Savior. It's not about us. So we always try to do a good job for our Savior. But as we begin this week, if you want to get there, get ahead, turn over to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, and around verse 31. So I want you all to come with me for a moment in your minds. Come to my living room. The wife and I are sitting in the living room. It's relatively quiet in the house. And we look at each other and we think, oh, it's time. We better do this now. It's time to do our family Bible reading. So just like at your house, we say, kids, come to the living room. It's Bible time. And instantly, almost simultaneously, you hear from all the corners of the house where all the kids are, you hear, yes, Father, coming right away. Sure, it works like this at all your houses, I'm sure. And instantly, you hear the plop where they drop whatever they were doing. They drop their books, and they drop their little tablet or computer, and they come racing down in happy obedience. We're here, ready for Bible time. Since my wife and my children are not in the room, I can say that without fear of contradiction. That's not exactly how it happened. But we were doing our family Bible reading, and one of my children, which shall remain nameless, was in a mood. I soon will have 2 teenage daughters. Right now I only have 1. But the child that was in a mood, we started the family Bible reading, and within 2 minutes, she went from being in a mood to laughing. And we are reading here in Luke chapter 13.
Why were you reading Luke? I thought you dispensational people ignore most of the Bible. That's what I've heard about you.
Yeah, well, that's what we were doing, reading the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke chapter 13 and 31, you see here, The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, the Pharisees are talking to Jesus, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. She's reading these verses, and then she reads the next five words and starts laughing. She reads, and he said unto them, and all of a sudden this girl that was in a bad mood starts cracking up. And I had got distracted. I'm, what's so funny? And she reads the next words laughing. Look at Jesus' response. Go ye and tell that fox. Now here are the religious leaders come and tell Jesus, you need to go. They give him an order. Not only does he ignore their order, he calls Herod a fox. Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. No, I'm not listening to you. You go tell that fox what I'm doing. I'm not going anywhere. And she starts laughing, and she goes, Jesus is so funny sometimes. He's so ornery. And I just thought that was very interesting. And, you know, my wife, the student of the mind, she wants to get into her thinking, why do you think that? You know, and we start talking about if Jesus is funny. And I had a lot of Christian experience growing up in Christian school and church and all that. And I don't remember us ever talking about how Jesus was funny. People wonder, you know, at times, does God have a sense of humor? Well, he created all things, doesn't he? Have you ever read the story about Balaam's donkey?
Yeah.
God has a sense of humor. But Jesus calls the king a fox. And you say, well, Jesus would never talk like that. Well, there it is in your red letters. So we discussed this for a little bit, and we're asking my daughter about why she likes Jesus. And she says she likes Jesus when we read it in the Bible and when we talk about it, you know, her mom and I, as we go through these passages, we tell them, you know, what's going on, why he's saying this, who he's talking to. And she says she likes the Jesus of the Bible. And, you know, what's, I was thinking about the first time I told them, the kids, now we're here in Luke. Now, Jesus wasn't talking directly to you and I here in this passage. He was just dealing with Israel. Do you know what they said to me?
I know.
They said, oh, okay. Well, who was he talking to? It's so interesting when you don't have a lifetime of prejudice built up from your church experience, the reaction is, oh, okay. I think the one of them asked me, well, how do you know that? And I say, well, because he said so. And I take them and show them the verse. And they go, oh, okay. Not a problem. But, you know, and we teach them, you know, Christ came back. He had this unscheduled, unprophesied return to earth. He put forth a mystery. He saved his chief enemy, Paul. He tells us we're supposed to follow Paul if we want to follow Jesus today. So that's where we get our instructions. Oh, okay. Spoiled brats. They don't know how good they have it. But when we're reading these things with my kids, and we're reading places like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we talk about, like I said, what's being said, why people are doing what they're doing, why they're saying what they're saying. And she, talking with her, we asked her, why do you like Jesus the way we read it and present him to you versus maybe other places? Because she has had a little bit of Christian-y experience at other places. Not much, but, you know, they have a activity and a little devotional here or something like that there. She's seen a little bit of other churches. And her analysis was, the Jesus that you guys talk about and that I read about is real. He seems real. And we present Jesus as fully God and fully man at the same time, the way our Bible teaches it. So she sees him being funny sometimes. She sees him being sad sometimes. She sees him being angry sometimes. And she also sees that, like I said, he's fully deity. We always point out, look, this is only God can do this. Only God can say that. He's fully God. And when we compared it to the other places that she's heard talk about Jesus, she really didn't have the words to describe it, so we're trying to kind of help her along. What do you mean why you like it? And she said that the Jesus that she's heard in other places, you know, whether it be books or, like I said, her few experiences, she says that the Jesus that's presented elsewhere seems like a lovey-dovey wimp who's always talking in code. That's what she came up with. And that Jesus is presented quite a bit in our church culture. Jesus loves all the time. What he meant, what Jesus was trying to say when he said this, we've gone over that. Where the Jesus at home, she hears, this is what he meant, this is why he said it, this is who he was talking to, and this was the point of it. So I just thought that was very interesting to hear that from somebody. You know, she doesn't have an axe to grind. She doesn't have any skin in the game. She's just giving her thoughts and observations. But if you look, we're on page 20 in the booklet. I'll get to these guys. Don't look at them till now. I said, don't look at them. Don't think of the color yellow. See how well that works. But on page 20 in the booklet, it says, you might be uncomfortable hearing that Jesus wasn't talking to you. But isn't that better than pretending you are obedient to what he said when you are not? Haven't you always been bothered by the many things the Lord said to which you pay no attention? Don't you get tired of making excuses? Have you noticed that you treat some Bible verses as if they did not exist? And we talked about people's reactions when you show them this information. Jesus wasn't talking to you. You show them a little bit of dispensational understanding, and the reaction was like the Princess Bride, where the wench comes in and says, Bell! They hate it. And I wanted to talk about, before we move on, one of the reasons why. And why you get the booze. And why do I have two different pictures here on the board? I don't know how well this is going to communicate on the camera, so sorry for the online crowd if you can't see it. But I point to this, and you all know exactly who this is, don't you? This is Jesus. This is what Jesus looks like. And I point to this and you say, who's that guy? Right? Now, it looks like he's got a crown. I wouldn't call it a crown of thorns, but it looks like a crown of weeds around his head. But you can see here that might be Jesus because of that crown, but that's not what Jesus looks like. But on the image of Jesus that we are accustomed to, what do we think of when we see Jesus in our minds? First thing, he's going to be a handsome American. Amen? Because we all know Jesus was the first American. He rode with Paul Revere, all that. But that's how we see Jesus. He's going to be a handsome, white, American man, probably with blue eyes. That's how Jesus is portrayed to us. He's got, you probably can't see it from here in the back, but this guy looks like he just got out of a 3-hour salon treatment. He's got a perfectly coiffed beard, perfectly flowing hair. You see there, he's got his perfectly white robe hoodie. Yeah, you know, the guy walking around on dirt roads all day, he's got a perfectly white robe. That's his attire. He speaks figuratively all the time. Don't you see that where his words come out? And when he talks, why, you can make of it whatever you want. You can make it mean anything you want it to mean. Why, it's such deep spiritual truths. You can twist and turn it any way you like. That's my Jesus. He's portrayed in our Christian culture as tender, meek, usually sad, always speaking with positive words of self-affirmation. I love you. I love you. And I love all of you too. Isn't that what you see? That's what my daughter was talking about. He's just a namby-pamby wimp. That doesn't mean what he says. He talks in code all the time. Here's a question for you.
If Jesus was the one white, good-looking, tall American male that had blue eyes walking around in a perfectly white robe around Israel, why then did Judas need to kiss him? Do you remember the Judas kiss? It's over in Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Why would Jesus need to be identified to the soldiers that came to the chief priest if he looked like that? If you're, hey, there's one really tall white American, blue-eyed, white robe, head to toe, that's your guy. Pretty easy, right? Looks kind of sad and loving. That's your man. Could I suggest an answer to that question? Maybe. He didn't look like a tall, white, blue-eyed American with his Fabio hair. Remember Fabio? Always with the Fabio hair, the Jesus that we see. Maybe as a Jewish man living in Israel's Old Testament, yes, I said it, living in Israel's Old Testament, Hebrews 9 tells me you can't have a New Testament for Israel without the death of the testator, so he's a Jewish man living under the law in Israel, Old Testament. Maybe he looked like a normal Jewish man living in Israel under Israel's Old Testament. We never think about that. Maybe he looked more like the person in this picture. This one looks kind of dirty. And he's darker complected. He looks Middle Eastern. That's not possible. Jesus was an American. His beard, it doesn't even look like he's been to the salon this week. He's got dark eyes. He looks like a Jew. Shocking. Maybe this is what Jesus looked like. Maybe he looked like all the other Jewish men who were standing in the garden that night, which is why Judas had to say, the guy I kiss is your man. Because they couldn't tell him apart from the other Jewish men standing around. Shocking. Would that be more real? Would that be like the guy that my daughter describes? When he says words, they mean things. They go different directions. They tell people, go this way, do that. Don't go this way, don't do that. His words are ordered and meaningful. And he means what he says to whom he said it. Could that be your guy? And you say, nope, nope, that's not my Jesus. My Jesus is this. Well, now we've got a tale of two Jesuses. The one you're used to, the one you're comfortable with, and the one in your Bible. What to do? Forget that Bible then.
I want to stay with what I like. But that looks weird to me. I don't like that. That's not my image of Jesus. Well, guess what, Bright Eyes? What you like and what you're comfortable with, that looks weird to my daughter. Does it matter? And does it even matter that one thing looks weird to you or not? We want to find out what's real. What is true? Amen. Which Jesus is right? Well, that's your truth. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Something's true whether you believe it or not. It's not my truth and your truth. It's truth or not. My Jesus wouldn't talk like that. Look over back to Luke. Look at Luke 14. Luke 14 and verse 12. Let's look at this objectively. Luke 14, 12. Jesus is talking here. He says, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Now, you read a passage like that, and you've never been told Jesus wasn't talking to you. What do you think Fabio Jesus means to you when he says that? And you're that person, you say, well, what my Jesus was trying to illustrate and elucidate here was twice a year I should do something nice for poor people. That's what Jesus was trying to say. And he wants us to have a heart on Christmas and Easter to do nice things for poor people that we don't like. We don't really want to hang around with. And then the rest of the year, we can hang out with all the rich people and the people that can pay us back. That's what my Jesus was trying to teach here. That's my truth. That's what I was raised up in, seeing the way Jesus' instructions were taught. Now, if we go to this real Jesus, my daughter's, where his words mean things, and we ask him, what were you trying to say here, Jesus? The real Jesus might say, what's wrong with you? Why do you think I was talking to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I told you over and over again, I wasn't talking to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start with Matthew 15. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I wasn't even talking to you. That's something the real Jesus might say. He might also point out, hey, did you miss my unprophesied, unscheduled return to earth to save my biggest enemy? That's new. And dispense a whole new message of grace according to a mystery that nobody had ever talked about. Did you miss that? Because it's kind of been sitting in that Bible in your lap all year. That's something the real Jesus might say. Yeah, you're 2,000 years ago. It's not like it was last Tuesday. That chosen vessel, that guy I picked, he literally spent the whole rest of his life talking about it, preaching it, teaching it, and writing about it, and you've got his writings in your lap. Did you notice that? But since you do think I was talking to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell me about how many poor, maimed, or lame people you invited to your Thanksgiving dinner last year. That's something that the real Jesus might say. Who does that? Who of your red letter friends follows that command when they have a feast, invite the poor, the maimed? Nobody does that. But we're following Jesus. you can follow Paul. We're following Jesus. No, you are not. You don't care what he said because you can make his words mean whatever you want. I just told you what the real Jesus might say, and the reaction would be, I don't like that. My Jesus would never speak like that. Fabio Hair Jesus never speaks to me in that way. You're still in Luke? Turn back a few pages. Look at Luke 11. I stick with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because that's all about the love of Jesus. And we preach the love of Jesus. You can talk doctrine all you want. We preach love.
Let's look at our sweet, loving Jesus here in Luke 11, verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Boy, he's really doing a good job being loving there, isn't he? Ye fools! Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Look at verse 42. But woe unto you, Pharisees! For ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you! Woe! Look how the Jesus of the Bible is talking. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Whoa. He's pretty stout. Sounds like he's really meaning to cut them with his woe. But look at what happens next. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproaches us also. What's Jesus got for him next? And he said, Well, woe on you too, buddy. He said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers. It's like Jesus, the lawyer saw Jesus dump a big pile of woe on the Pharisees and scribes, and some of it splashed off on the lawyers. And the lawyer says, Master, you splashed some of their woe on me. And Jesus looks at it and says, Well, that won't do at all. Would you look at that? You get your whole big bucket of woe. That's how Jesus responds to it. Woe unto you, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touched not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. They're building the sepulchres and these beautiful monuments to the prophets. Your daddy's killed. Interesting. Would you say that's hypocritical? That wasn't very nice, was it? Jesus was being stout. What you're dealing with when you're trying to show people that Jesus wasn't talking to you, you're up against more than you think. You are dealing with people who have built an idol of what Jesus was and is. And they love their idol more than they care about what you have to say. That's what you're up against. They don't like it when you say, no, this is an idol. This is the real Jesus. He means what he says. He wasn't talking to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They don't like that. Looks weird. I don't like that. That's not my Jesus. That's what you're up against. You think, oh, we're just going to compare verses and we're just going to look at doctrines and let God's Word say what it says and they'll be fully convinced immediately. And then you get the boo! Their idol gives them a whole lot of latitude to do whatever they want.
and believe whatever they want. Because we can take his words and have them say whatever we want them to say and mean whatever they want we want them to mean. They don't like this harsh reality of the words of the most important personages in the history of the planet control you. You submit to his words. When he was talking to you, when he wasn't talking to you, it would be wrong to do that. They don't like that. Let's look, compare here. We have Luke, turn over to John. John chapter 10. We talked about this one in a previous lesson. John 10:10. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Remember we talked about that. What my Jesus meant to say there was even though we have a great, rich American life, he wants to give me more rich American abundant life. And as soon as I start being a good boy and a good girl in church, I'm going to get paid. That's what Jesus was saying in John 10:10. That's what my Jesus says. That's what Fabio Jesus has to say. What would the real Jesus say about John 10:10? First of all, I wasn't talking to you. Second of all, that verse is about Israel following their Christ instead of the Antichrist. Kind of a big deal. And the abundant life when Israel endures to the end and they follow their Christ instead of their Antichrist, they get to go in the kingdom. That's what Jesus was talking about. I don't like that. I like my Jesus better. That's too much doctrine. You see what you're up against? What about Matthew 6:7? Matthew 6:7, this is what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And then he teaches them how to pray right after that. Fabio Jesus says, you get to ignore that. Because what we're all going to do when the preacher says so is we're all going to clap our hands together and vainly repeat for the 10,000th time, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What did he just tell you to do? Don't vainly repeat it. So what we're going to do, what my Jesus meant there, is we're going to ignore his commands, vainly repeat it, and we're going to feel really good about how religious and pious we are after we're done praying it. That's what my Jesus meant there. Fabio Jesus. The real Jesus. Let's do another action. What's wrong with you? That's what's something the real Jesus might say. He might say, why are you praying Israel's kingdom prayer out of Matthew 6? Then I give you prayers over and over and over again through your Apostle Paul, showing you and teaching you how to pray. I preserved them in his word. You can look at them and learn how to pray that way according to grace. Why are you praying Israel's kingdom prayer from Matthew 6? Did I not tell you I've forgiven you all trespasses already? Then why are you praying a prayer that has your trespasses forgiven on the basis that you forgive others?
Why are you praying for me to feed you every day like Israel when I told you it's up to you to provide for your own house, and if you don't, you're worse than an infidel? Why are you praying that? That's something the real Jesus might say.
I don't like that.
You see what you're up against? I'm saying this because we're now at Jesus wasn't talking to you 17. You all are still here, so I'm going to assume you're on board. The people online who've made it to episode 17, I'm guessing they're on board, and they want to teach other people also. I'm trying to prepare you for what the job is that you're up against. What about parables? Remember parables? In Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 has the parable of the sower. What's the point of parables? My Jesus says parables are a way of God dumbing things down for us and teaching us a morality tale. And oftentimes what happens at my church is our pastor takes us to a parable and teaches it and then uses it to make us feel guilty about how we're not doing very well. And then we feel really guilty, so then we try harder, and then we feel much better when we're doing better, and we feel so good about ourselves. I was taught that parables are God dumbing it down for you to make it so simple even a dope like me can understand it. That's what my Jesus says parables are about. What might the real Jesus say to you in God's Word about parables? The real Jesus might say, "Sir, are you literate? Can you read?" That's what the real Jesus might say. Did you read on in the chapters? I literally told my disciples in the same chapter what the point of parables was. Did you not read that? Look at verse 10 in Mark chapter 4. "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." Don't confuse this with the mystery of Christ, please. The mystery of Christ was not revealed to Paul. There are mysteries with Israel's kingdom program too. "The mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive." Huh? Jesus is trying to hide things from people? My Jesus would never do that. He's love. "Seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." My Jesus doesn't talk like that. He literally tells the guys, "I'm talking in parables, so you people who believe in me, you get it, and those people can stay dumb as a brick and lost because they've rejected me." Whoa! I don't like that Jesus. He wants to hide things from unbelievers? That's not what I'm comfortable with Jesus. The point of the parables, and the parable of the sower, he says if you can get that one, you get them all. And the point of the parable of the sower is the four sowings of the kingdom gospel. First one with John the Baptist, second one with the Lord Jesus Christ, third one with the apostles, the fourth one out in the future with the 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses. Kidding, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. But he's hiding information from unbelieving Israel while at the same time giving information to believing Israel. And the people say, my loving Jesus would never do that. I know. Because your loving Fabio Jesus is not real. It's an idol you've made up in your mind. No more real than Oprah Winfrey's Jesus. That's the thing that, you know, we, especially as Americans, we are taught, we pay for bad doctrine. We pay people to teach us we're supposed to tithe. Isn't that funny? Oops. I paid for wrong doctrine? We pay people to teach us about this idol Jesus that doesn't exist. And we combine that with our own self-centered narcissism, and we build this idol. We learned about it at the Church of Our Terrible Choice. That's what you're up against when you're trying to teach people Jesus wasn't talking to them. You see how difficult it is now? You come in, look at these verses. These verses are remarkable. Let's compare. Use the two-handed Bible study method. What they see is you kicking down their front door and you're trying to tear down their favorite idol they've got on the wall. That's why you get the strong reaction. Boo! When what your audience likely hears when you tell them Jesus wasn't talking to you was you want to kill Fabio Jesus that they love. You know, their Jesus in their mind as they sleep. Jesus is sitting at the foot of their bed watching them. I love you. I love you so much. I can't wait till you wake up and start telling me what to do. It's been so boring all night. You haven't told me to do anything yet. Oh, please wake up. That's how we're presented Jesus. The real Jesus is a freight train, and you're sitting on the tracks. Stay seated on the tracks. That freight train is going to keep going. Now, he's graciously made a way for us to get off the tracks and catch the train as it's going by. He's given us that salvation. He loved you enough to let you on the train. He doesn't love you enough to stop the train. Is that a fair statement? His will be done. He's God and we're not. That's not my Jesus. I know, because you've got a fake one. In the booklet on page 20, haven't you always been bothered by the many things the Lord said to which you pay no attention? Don't you get tired of making excuses? What my Jesus was trying to say. He already agreed with what I decided to do. Isn't that amazing? And I found a verse. Have you noticed that you treat some Bible verses as if they did not exist? You ask that question to 99 out of 100 people. The answer is no, they're not bothered. No, they don't likely care that they treat Bible verses as if they don't exist. And they won't be until the point comes in their life when maybe you've had enough bad doctrine fail for them. Maybe they've tried enough things and listened to enough preachers and had all that stuff come crashing down and fail. Maybe at that point is when they'll be willing to read the booklet rather than throw it at you. Their idol, Fabio Jesus, is just fine with them interpreting any verse any which way they want and having it say anything, as long as you don't take it literally. What Jesus was trying to say. The people who follow the fake idol Fabio Jesus are just fine treating Bible verses as if they did not exist. Do you know why? Because Fabio Jesus says, Lord works in mysterious ways, we just can't know. Isn't that what you do? And all the people say, amen to that, brother. Amen to that, sister. Let me retranslate that another way. I'm as dumb as a brick. And everybody says, yay! Doesn't sound quite as good when you say it that way. I don't know what in the world to do with this verse. I can't figure anything out. I'm dumb. Amen. Aren't we supposed to be stewards of the mysteries of God, faithful stewards? Aren't we supposed to study to show ourselves approved? Should we ever be celebrating ignorance? I was dumb as a brick for most of my life to the truth of God's word rightly divided. I don't look back at that portion of my life and go, yay! Good job, dummy! I say, Lord, I'm so grateful for the faithful people that taught me and brought me from dumb as a brick to less dumb as a brick. Thank you. But we are taught by the idol Fabio Jesus to celebrate ignorance. So you who know Jesus wasn't talking to you, I'm assuming you know that, and I'm assuming you're on board with that because you're still here. Do you see what you're up against? Look over at Titus chapter 2, please. Verse 1. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Like I said at the beginning, you know, everybody's got different personalities, everybody's got different ways of doing things or teaching things. But the point is to keep the doctrine sound. And he talks about the aged men be sober, be grave. Look at the next instruction, be temperate. If you're trying to teach people Jesus wasn't talking to you, there should not come a point where you're throwing your Bible at your spouse's head out of frustration. There shouldn't be screaming involved in the room if you're trying to teach people Jesus wasn't talking to you. Did I ever scream? Been there, done that, got that t-shirt too. Sound, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Charity. Love doing something good expressly to benefit someone else. Right? Patience. Jesus wasn't talking to you. This is amazing. You got to see this. This is amazing information. Boom! Patience. You've got to fight their whole life, their whole tradition, everything they've heard in church, and you've got to fight their non-existent idol that they love. You need to be patient. It's going to take some time. But you, while you're being patient and charitable, you say sound in doctrine and strong in the faith. Sound in the faith and sound in the doctrine. What are you up against? Let's look at it another way. How hard do you think it would be for somebody to come along to my daughter and teach her that the Jesus she knows and loves isn't real? But you need to love this one. How do you think that would work out for you? That's what you're up against in the reverse. That's the task at hand. Get my daughter to love the lovey-dovey wimp. Not going to happen, is it? Not going to happen easily. And you're trying to do the same thing. the real Jesus said some things. In Romans chapter 15, we get some information about the real Jesus. This is Paul talking about him.
What does Paul know? Who called him? Who told him what to do?
Jesus, the real one. He says in Romans 15:8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers."
What in the world does that verse mean?
That means Jesus wasn't talking to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because he was a minister of the circumcision, that's Israel, to confirm prophetic promises to Israel's fathers. Prophecy, Israel, their fathers. You're part of none of that. Your information comes to you through Paul, through the mystery. They weren't your fathers, and they weren't your promises. You're a filthy, rotten Gentile. Look farther down in the chapter. 16. Jesus was that same chapter that I, Paul, who's talking, should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of the God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Right there in the same chapter in your Bible, you find more that Jesus wasn't talking to you in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, but he was talking to you through Paul.
I don't like that one bit. I've never heard that before, so it has to be wrong, because I didn't wake up not knowing everything.
We'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 14:37. You hand somebody a book like Jesus wasn't talking to you.
Where'd you get that? Who told you that? YouTube? You got it from a guy on YouTube? What? What school did he go to? What denomination? I don't believe that. I've never heard that.
1 Corinthians 14:37.
I don't think that's very spiritual. I don't think that's right.
Look at 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him have a look at Paul. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Jesus wasn't talking to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus was talking to you through your apostle Paul. And that's the shift that this booklet is going to make here shortly. It's going to go from Nancy negative to Penny positive. Jesus was talking to you through Paul.